WildTalkRadio.com.
6, 23, 22.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey, guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are here.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. We're back. It's the first time we have done a show together in...
over a week.
10 days.
Yeah.
Actually, longer than that, because... 2 weeks.
It's been almost 2 weeks, yeah.
It's almost 2 weeks since we've done a show. Weird. Happens. Stuff.
Things happen, chat. Sorry.
It's okay, because we'll make up for it, because we have other shows we're going to be doing.
Yeah, it's an unplanned hiatus, for sure.
It was definitely an life intervened, and here we are.
Oh, God, did life intervene.
But that's a story for another day, another time. We're here to talk about the pro wrestling, the sports, entertainments, and all the fun stuff. Did you know you can use credit code RockSucker and Zim Ward in the Fortnite item shop right now, and you can buy your is it Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes, Obi-Wan Kenobi, the OG space slut.
Available now in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag epic partner.
Yes, and we have lots of news, because like we said, we haven't done a show in 2 weeks, so we have lots of news to talk about, and we're going to be talking about really the fallout from one of the biggest stories from 2 weeks ago, which was Sasha Banks and Naomi. We're going to cover that, but that's going to be in the back half of the show. So now we're going to jump right into the news, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. By the way, I apologize for my voice, because life intervened, and I had to go places and do things. I had to see humanity, and it was more humanity humanity than I ever wanted to see in my life. And as a result, naturally, I picked up a little bug. It's not COVID. I've been tested. It's negative. It's just a little thing. So I'm sorry if my voice sounds off or weird or bad or nasally or anything like that. That's what's going on there. Yay, things. Anyway, so let's start out at the top, starting with WWE. And one of the biggest stories of the past 2 weeks is that Stephanie McMahon announced that she's taking a leave of absence from WWE. This is coming on the heels of Triple H returning to work after his health scare in the fall. And now Steph is taking a break to focus on her family.
Yeah, so she tweeted on May 19th. As of tomorrow, I'm taking a leave of absence from the majority of my responsibilities at WWE. WWE is a lifelong legacy for me, and look forward to returning to a company that I love after taking this time to focus on my family. Interesting
words. Very interesting words. A lot of people were speculating what they could mean, including or not limited to the fact that she and Triple H might be getting a divorce. That is completely baseless. It's all rumor and speculation. There is no grounds for that at all.
Nope, none whatsoever, but it, you know, you hear those phrases and go, huh, makes
yeah,
you wonder. But we're not starting that speculation, that's just you put it two and two together at one point and go, huh, and then you move on from that statement.
I mean, Steph has gone pretty hardcore for the past, I don't know, 20 or so years, pretty much, since she started really working with the company full time. And she hasn't really taken a break. That includes when she had her kids. She took a maternity leave, but she was back pretty quickly after her maternity leave. And she's just been kind of running the company. She's been the chief brand officer now for a few years, and she has done a lot of work to rebrand the company and make it more family friendly and focus in on doing charity work and other really positive, impactful moves that WWE can make to really refresh the brand on the whole and make it what it is today. A lot of people don't like it, but that is how WWE has kind of ensured their survival, is they've gone more family friendly and become more charitable and done other things to get put a positive spin on the company versus keeping the negative spin that they had for a really long time. And a lot of that is attributed to Steph and her work with the company. So I can completely respect and understand that after doing all of that and kind of doing all the heavy lifting that she's been doing, and then Hunter's health scare in the fall, yeah, she probably needs to take a break, because I think she took on a lot of Hunter's work as well when he was out and he was recovering.
She did.
And so now she needs a break. Like, she just needs to chill. And so they're absolutely going to let her do that. Nick Khan is going to be taking on some of her work, and then they're going to be hiring somebody else to take over the remainder of her responsibilities.
Or multiple people,
depending on how many it takes. There is no word on if she will be back as the chief brand officer. She could be back in another role. And it could be a lesser role, because obviously her girls are getting older. She wants to spend time with them. She wants to spend time with Hunter, and she probably wants to spend time with her dad, because Vince is getting older, and, you know, life can happen, and she probably wants to spend as much time with her dad as she possibly can, and her mom as well. So
it's interesting where she's at in life, because as you mentioned, she has three teenage girls at the moment. Scary to think.
I know.
They're all growing, and Hunter's health incident last summer or early fall, whatever, wherever it was, is a lot to deal with. They've had it's a life-changing event for them. And probably, like, you think about family and go, let's slow down and sort of focus on that again. Let's make sure we're present for all these moments. Make sure we're not missing anything, because the grind of her job is a lot. So it's like taking a step back, reevaluating, hey, do I want to do this the way I've been doing it for a long time? What is my future? And, you know, again, heart issues are a thing, and it makes you reevaluate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because one minute he's there, one minute he may have not been there. So it probably took a toll on her body mentally and everything. So it's like she probably just needs to de-stress.
Yeah.
I think we've all had to de-stress at some point in our life. And
yep.
She probably wants to de-stress from the world completely for a while. Whether it's 2 months, 6 months, a year, who knows? But the company will still be there when she wants to come back. It's not a power play. Oh, Nick Khan forced her out. Yeah, no.
Mm-mm.
None of that. None of that stuff. She's still a big part of the company, will always be a big part of the company because it's her family company. And whatever she chooses to do going forward is what she chooses to do going forward.
But yeah, I mean, like you said, it's probably mainly just a reevaluation of her family, because almost losing Hunter assuredly changed her perspective on a lot of things, because she was probably standing there looking at it going, oh my God, you know, what have we been doing the last 15 or 16 years, however long they've been married, with our lives. You know, all they've done is work. All they've done is dedicate their lives to WWE. Mm-hmm. And when you go through something like that, that makes you kind of reevaluate everything in your life and what you're doing. And it's like, I don't want to say you question if it's worth it, but you question if it's that important. Is it important prioritizing over your children, over your husband, over your life in general? Or is it something that, hey, you know what? I'm in a good place. I have the ability to step back. So I'm going to step back. And I'm going to enjoy really the fruits of my labor, because one could argue that she really hasn't done that. She hasn't stepped back to enjoy everything that she's done, because she's just been go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure she's been able to take a moment or two here or there, but ultimately to just step back and step away from the company because of where it's at presently, you know, she hasn't been able to do that in the past.
No.
And now it's like, you know what, after everything, it's like, I'm going to walk away. And part of that could have been COVID too, like the stress of running the company all through COVID and trying to get through that and figuring out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, because they took, like, you know, a lot of companies, they took a huge hit from COVID. They lost live shows for a year and a half, and they lost the money from live shows for a year and a half. And it's, how are we going to get through this? How are we going to pay everybody? How are we going to survive this? And I'm sure she was integral to that plan and executing that and getting them through that. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. She should take a step back. She should enjoy herself for a while.
Yeah.
Go be a mom. Go be a wife. Go be you. Go do whatever you want.
Because she's... like, she's run the company. I know she's been taking international classes or something. She's been doing things, education things, and a lot gets to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, go stuff. Take that break. Enjoy yourself. Go get a massage or two. But speaking of live events, NXT is going to return to live events. They're going to be starting the Florida Loop again starting this summer with 8 dates announced. So, congratulations to them.
Dad, they're running the Florida tour again. It's a long time coming for them. They haven't run in 2+ years. The new crew needs to get out there. They need to do they need to do the wrestling thing. They gotta go on the tour, set up the ring, all the little things again.
Mm-hmm.
They have to learn. They have to know what to do, because a lot of them are young and have never done anything and have never worked the circuit. So now they get a chance to work the circuit before going up to the main circuit. So running the shows in Florida is not, you know, the worst thing for them. It's kind of how they break them in.
Yeah.
And wrestling in front of different people than just once a week on Tuesday nights, I mean, that's not the worst thing for them.
No, it's good exposure.
So it's like, I think it's every other weekend or something like that they have dates for. So that's, it's a good start.
It'll help them improve as well, because they'll be working more consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a good thing for people. So expose them to different audiences, expose them to different towns, expose them to kind of what road life is in a very limited capacity, and kind of really break them into the business. I mean, you know, just and do it very gently. I think it's a good thing, and it can only be helpful.
Yeah.
So good for them. And speaking of announcements, WWE is returning to Saudi Arabia on November 5th for Crown Jewel.
Another Saturday pay-per-view.
Yay.
You gotta love it. they announced that on Monday. So that it's a Saturday afternoon show. In the fall. It's fine.
It'll be fine. It's just, it's like, because they're so early. But that's okay, because you can go back and watch it later. But you're just like, so early. And another interesting note / soft announcement. It seems that the grand plan for stadium shows kind of took a hitch, because Money in the Bank, which was a stadium show, has been moved to the MGM Grand Garden Arena. They had originally sold 17,000 tickets for the stadium, which for a regular show, 17,000 tickets is perfectly acceptable. But for a stadium show that holds 70, 80,000 people, not so good. So unfortunately, WWE has had to refund all the tickets that have been sold. They will be putting them back on sale on the 1st. So if you're interested in attending Money in the Bank again, you can take your money and just reapply it for the MGM Grand Garden if you like, because that will happen on the 1st. So
yeah, so the stadium was set up for about 40. sold about 17,000.
It's not a good look.
It's not a good look, and I don't think they had the attraction they wanted for that show to really hard sell it. Again, 17,000. Any wrestling company right now would die to sell 17,000 tickets in general. So there's that.
And
so,
I mean,
so we... like, hold on. So, like, CM Punk posted, oh, they're claiming another, making fun of, they're claiming another match together because that's when they moved to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Your company wishes they could do 17,000 tickets.
Well, didn't they sell out the New Japan show?
That's about 12,000.
I mean, that's still a good number, but yeah, I mean, it's like 17,000 tickets.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. I mean, it's just, it's, I can understand the big four being in stadiums, absolutely, you know, especially Mania, but like, you know, to have Survivor Series in a stadium, to have SummerSlam in a stadium, to have Royal Rumble in a stadium, they're big enough shows that, yes, you can justify selling 40 to 50,000 tickets and not having a problem. But, you know, for something like Money in the Bank, no offense to Money in the Bank, it's a perfectly serviceable show, but there's not really, like you said, an attraction. Like, Money in the Bank isn't something that you're like, oh my god, who's going to win it? Because it's been around long enough, and it's kind of just sort of been, like, relegated off to the side that is not necessarily an important thing. Honestly, Money in the Bank's kind of sort of like a hindrance more than a help, but they still do it.
It loses importance when the cash in is not as successful.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, we had Big E cash in last year, which was really exciting, but, you know, for the most part, the cash ins are kind of sort of just there. And the Money in the Bank is just sort of becomes a hindrance in a lot of cases. So, I can understand them moving it out of the stadium. But yeah, so if you want to go, go.
Hopefully you have refund. If you can't get a ticket for Money in the Bank and you already had one and you had like hotels and stuff, maybe you can get refunds and stuff, because that would be the only sucky part about it.
That would be the sucky part. I would be curious to know if they're like giving the people that had purchased tickets pre-sale.
Yeah, they have it.
Where it's like you can go in early and you can repurchase.
You can.
If you had already bought.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are going to do the general sale, because it's like, yeah, that I would be pissed if it's like I was traveling to Vegas for Money in the Bank and you're like, oh, hey, yeah, so I had a ticket to the Money in the Bank and now I don't. And I have, like you said, hotels and cars and that kind of thing. Although I think the arena's, isn't it on the Strip or is it downtown?
I don't know, but as a ticket holder for the event originally scheduled for Allegiant Stadium, you will have first opportunity to purchase tickets before anyone else. So there you go.
There you go. Moving on, Up Up Down Down is back online with new content, and guess what? They have a return, y'all. Tyler Breeze, Prince Pretty himself, is back on the channel.
Yep, it's no longer Matt in the chair, it's Tyler Breeze back, or Prince Pretty Breezy. Whatever you want to call him, he's back. They're doing Battle of the Brands on Up Up Down Down again. It started today, so he's back in the fold. People were happy to see him, so he's back doing some things in conjunction with WWE, but not completely. But I think that was one of the big sticking points, was to get Breeze back.
Yeah. I thought it was on the Strip. Just kind of going back to the Money in the Bank stuff for a second. I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. Like, I've been to Vegas like a handful of times, but I've never been... Like, I never spent a lot of time down by the MGM Grand. I've always been, like, center strip, usually. So, I wasn't 100% sure. Yeah, I know the football stadium is near the Strip. Like, I know that. Like, they purposely built it there because that's where all the hotels are. So, it makes complete sense that, you know... Yeah, but it's Vegas. You don't generally rent a car in Vegas. You typically take a taxi or you walk. Like, that's the whole point of it, is you don't ever rent a car in Las Vegas, because you don't really need one. You can just, like, it's all just central. But anyway, going back, Jeff Jarrett will be on the Broken Skull Sessions. He is the next guest.
June 3rd. So next Friday.
Next Friday, so tune in for that. Moving on to AEW. Speaking of rental cars and Uber and Lyft and doing some carpooling, this is interesting to me. AEW announced that some of their stars will be appearing on Carpool Karaoke. You're going to have the likes of CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, MJF, Powerhouse Hobbs, Christian Cage, Ruby Soho, and Dr. Britt Baker appearing on the show.
Good move for them.
This is a very good move for them. And... you're seeing more and more of these. Like, we reported, I think, before we had our little hiatus, that they were going to have people on Netflix.
Yeah, on floor is lava.
So what you're seeing is the AEW is realizing that they need to kind of work their way into pop culture a little bit, that's how they're going to grow their audience.
Yeah.
And so you're putting your bigger names out there into pop culture, things like Carpool Karaoke, and getting them on Netflix and getting them sort of start to do the outside appearances beyond what Cody was doing with the Go Big Show and some other things to sort of get their names out there, to get them to be more recognizable. So I think this is a good move. I applaud them for it. So go them.
Indeed, go them.
Jim Ross announced that he has extended his deal with AEW for another 18 months, so congratulations to him.
Yeah, he's continuing on. He doesn't want to overstay his welcome, and he's going to just keep going and going until Tony doesn't want him around no more. So he's going to be around for at least another 18 months, and whatever happens after that, happens after that.
There you go. In other news, The Young Rock was announced for Season 3, so congratulations to everybody associated with that show.
Yeah, it's keeping on. So congratulations to everyone at 7 Bucks Productions. That the show continues on. The season finale was last night, I believe.
I think so, yeah.
So there you go.
Before we talk about this last story, let's do the Blame Brents.
Okay.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
We should probably note that the Brent counter in Nightbot is not accurate. I think that number's gone up.
Oh, it's gone up.
It's so gone up.
Yeah. We'll eventually get the last number on Skype is 386 and 3086 and counting.
Yeah. So he
may have passed 4,000. I don't know. Or not yet. We're getting.
I feel
close.
Like he would tell us if he had.
Oh yeah, he's off for another couple of years before 4,000. But still, it's probably 3,200 at this point.
Brent, if you're in chat, what's the new number?
I don't think he's in chat yet, so.
Okay. Anyway, a lot of people were upset about this one. Nikita Lyons is out with a partially torn MCL.
Hashtag blame Brent.
So she should be back in a couple months?
A couple months, depending on surgery, and if she needs surgery or not.
So hope she feels better.
Yeah. Oh, there's one more blame Brent. I forgot to add it on there. Layla Hirsch. AEW star, torn ACL.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Okay, I saw that story, and I feel so bad for her, because she had to wait 6 weeks to get surgery.
Yeah.
That sucks. Mm-hmm.
I saw that late today, and I forgot to put it on the list. But yeah, that's a tough one. Happened back in the middle of April at a dark tape, and they had to stop the match, and yeah.
But yeah, it's like 6 weeks later, that thing started to heal. And then they got to go back in and they have to do surgery on it and put it back properly. And then it's got to re-heal. Dude, no.
It's one of them things that just sort of happens.
Oh, I know. I just feel bad for her because that sucks. And last, but certainly not least in our news. I'm going to try to be nice about this, but I don't know if I can be nice about this. So Ric Flair.
Woo!
We all love Rick.
Woo!
He's a national treasure.
Woo!
Even if he's a bit insane.
Woo, woo, woo!
So Ric Flair announced that he's going to be making one last, supposedly, return to the ring on SummerSlam weekend at the Nashville Fairgrounds, of all places. Uh-huh. No offense to the Nashville Fairgrounds, but the last time I was there, it was not a nice place. But it's been several years since I've been there, and I understand it's been renovated. So it could be nicer now. And he will be appearing at StarCat, where he will be wrestling. Nobody really knows who. Supposedly it was going to be Ricky Steamboat, and supposedly he declined. Supposedly it's going to be Hulk Hogan, but Hulk Hogan isn't, according to Ric Flair, isn't going to be wrestling, but he might be there. Supposedly it was going to be FTR and Rick versus somebody else.
The working plan is FTR and Flair versus the Rock and Roll Express and person to be determined. Or it could be a singles match. No one knows because they have not officially announced who his opponents are. This is just rumor and speculation of what's going to happen.
Ric Flair, with a history of health problems.
Pacemaker.
Heart problems in his 70s. He's going to wrestle.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Supposedly he has been to doctors.
40.
And he, I guess 39 of them told him he shouldn't do it. And apparently one of them told him that he should. And so he's decided to listen to the one that said yes, and he's going to wrestle again. So here's the dilemma that I have with this. If it's, he gets in the ring, he hits a handful of moves, and it's with FTR. It's a six man. Gets in the ring, he hits a couple moves, he gets out of the ring. I'm kind of okay with that, because then at that point, he's not working a full match on his own where he's having to carry. He'll have younger guys around him that can help him out.
I mean, Rock and Roll Express aren't young.
I'm not counting the Rock and Roll Express, okay? I'm counting FTR.
They're his opponents. They're the ones who have to catch him.
Don't get me started on Rock and Roll Express, all right? Just don't get me started on that.
Also, I'm going to stick a pin in your bubble in a second, but continue.
So that could be my best case scenario for this situation. Is it going to happen? No, that's not what's going to happen.
Can I tell you what's going to happen?
No, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Ric Flair is going to try to work the match because he's been training and he feels good and he's falling into that deceptive trap of, oh yeah, I can still do this, because he hasn't wrestled in about, I don't know, what, 5 to 10 years, something like that. So yeah, his body feels good because he hasn't been taking bumps. So he gets in the ring and he bumps around. He's like, yeah, I feel fine. I feel great. Like, nothing's wrong with me. You know, he's in his 70s. So he's going to try to do his match, like a Ric Flair match. Which, if anybody could pull it off, it's Rick, right? Supposedly the greatest of all time. If anybody could do it, it's Rick. If anybody could fuck it up, it's Rick.
So you know what he's planning on doing in said match?
What?
This is the pin in the bubble. He is planning on going to the top rope and doing the top rope bump.
No.
Whether it's the one where he flips over the corner.
No.
Or the one where he gets caught on the top rope and launched off the top rope. He is planning on the top rope bump.
I don't want to criticize him. I'm going to. But I don't want to, because I have no right to tell him what he can and can't do. I am not a professional wrestler. I have never been trained. And if he feels like he can do this, I'm sure he thinks he can. I think there are a lot of people, because this story came out, I think, 2 weeks ago, or while I was gone, who are incredibly concerned about this, who have publicly come out and said that this is maybe not the best idea, and Rick has tried to be like, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. That's where the whole 40 doctors thing comes from, is he's like, I've been to doctors, because I think that was the one big question when this first came out was, is he even medically cleared? Has he been to a doctor? Because, you know, Ric Flair almost died like 5 years ago due to a heart thing. So that was the number one question. And that's when he came out and he's like, oh yeah, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. I've been to 40 doctors and 39 told me no and one told me yes. And so I'm going to listen to that one. And then Conrad Thompson, who is his son-in-law, who's putting on the event, is like, yeah, no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Everything's fine. Like, it's all on the up and up. It's all good. Even though we don't know who the, like, opponent is yet, or what the match is going to be, it's like, it's going to be Ric Flair's final match, and it's going to be at StarCast at the Nashville Fairgrounds. Which, you know, we've seen how many final matches for Rick at this point.
By the way, tickets on sale tomorrow.
Tickets on sale tomorrow, in case you're interested. I think the one big fear is obviously that something is going to happen to Rick. That something is going to go wrong, that his health issues are going to kick up. And I think the one great fear would be that Rick would die in the ring, which would be horrifying for everybody involved. And I do mean everybody. Which, if you're a wrestler, again, I don't want to criticize, but if you're a wrestler and that's the way that you want to go out, please consider the people in the audience. Please consider your opponents. Please consider everybody involved in that situation before you think of that option. Because while it's grand and glorious to you, it is absolutely horrific for everybody else involved. And really, nobody wants to be involved in that. Nobody. Okay?
Alright.
Just gonna throw that out there.
So, I'm saying, why, what, you know, what did it make him think through this match? So, he's gone on record saying his last year, the last time he wrestled, that whole last year in TNA Impact Wrestling, he did not like how he went out. Meaning he should have stayed and gone out with Sean, but he came and did that whole Hogan tour and everything like that, and did the run in Impact. He fought Foley and Jay Lethal and all these things, and he wasn't happy with how it all ended up. He wasn't happy with the final year, and it's like, that's great, but that's 7 years ago. Like, it's a long time ago. WWE retired him at 24. That's 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then he did the comeback and Impact, and that was, oh, that's even more. That's maybe 10 years ago at this point, right? We were covering, like we were covering, oh God, we were covering it, right?
Yeah, I think we were, because that was when it was like Flair and Hogan and Nash and Booker T, and like everybody was in fucking Impact at that point. And I remember it because it was like, was it Flair or was it Foley? Might have been both, but they were both wrestling, I think, at that point in Impact.
Each
and
other,
like,
I think.
Each other, yeah. And I remember, I think I remember that match, and it was not good.
No, it was awful.
And I think that's the other concern with this, is that it's like, Rick, I don't think anybody really remembers the Impact run, because I don't think it was seen by enough people to really be impactful, pardon the pun. Everybody remembers the final match with Shawn, where it's, I'm sorry, I love you, and then it's the kick to the face, and Shawn Michaels retires Ric Flair. Like, that is an iconic moment in his career, and everybody really remembers that, and that's viewed as the final match by a lot of people. Even though he's wrestled since then, it's, that is viewed as the final match. I think he risks, even though this is going to be seen, I feel like, by less people, I feel like he risks damaging his reputation further and damaging his legacy further by doing this. Mm-hmm. It's like, you could just let it go. I understand that there are things in life that it's like you want to fix and you want to change. And I didn't like the Impact run, and I didn't like how I went out there. But there are some things you just can't change. And I don't think that this is going to fix it. And I'm worried that he's going to be even more disappointed. I'm worried that something's going to happen to him. I'm worried that somebody's going to put it out on the internet and we're all going to watch it and we're all going to go, oh God.
Oh, you're saying, what, just a fan cam of it?
Yeah.
You can buy the event on Fight.tv.
Of course you can.
So there will be a live feed of, you know, a live stream of the show. Just putting it, I believe it's on Fight. Would assume it would be.
I don't think Orton ever punted Flair. I think he teased it, but I don't think he ever actually did it.
He did, but that was long before the final round. That was 04-ish.
Yeah, that was like when he was doing legacy and shit.
That was not like, that was Breakup of Evolution shit.
Oh, that's right. That's what I meant, was Evolution. Mm-hmm. But yeah, ultimately, we don't have a say. It's Rick's decision, and if Rick feels confident in it, then we just have to trust his confidence. But I think, like I said, there are a lot of people who are very, very worried about him and about what this is going to be. And he could be fine. Like, he's training, and he's been fine through the training, but the training is obviously different than a match. And let us all hope that it is the sixth man. Let's all hope that he sees reason and he does not jump off the top rope, because God only, that could just be like terrifying.
It's happening.
Oh, I know it's happening, but I'm kind of hoping that sense will prevail at some point.
Nope.
And somebody will look at him and somebody will be like, Rick, honey, no, just don't. But I don't think that will occur at all. I think he's going off the top rope.
He is 120% going off the top rope.
But I don't know. For me personally, like I said, I don't feel like he should be doing this. I think, but I'm not him, right? Because it's like, I have things that I would go back and change, but I can't go back and change them. So it's like, at some point, you just, like I said, you just have to let this go. And for him, I feel like it's just let it go. Just say that the end was Shawn, and that was it. And nothing after Shawn really counts. Even though it's out on YouTube, and even though it's everywhere, and people can go watch it, it's, no, the ending was Shawn. And that's the ending that I'm going to accept.
Yeah.
And just move forward. But he feels he has to do it, and if he feels he has to do it, then so be it. That's his choice. I just hope everybody is safe, and everybody comes out all right. Please don't let him go off the top rope. Anyway, Tweet of the Week?
Yeah, let's do Tweet of the Week.
Used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace, until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
Stephen King. And by the way, I don't have a lot of tweets because reasons. Anyway, Stephen King. I tell you my paper joke, but it's terrible. Mega Ran. Just left Whataburger. I accidentally rubbed ketchup in my eyes. Do I have hindsight?
Wow, those were awful.
That's all I have.
Twitter gaming. I believe you. It was definitely your teammate's fault. Dr. Lupo fucking told you, Amethyst. She tweets, Google's how to block on Twitter. Let's see. Kayla Braxton, people who just leave their grocery buggies in random parking spots instead of putting them away should have to spend their entire afterlife only retrieving and returning grocery buggies. Yes. 100% yes. So Joe Henning tweets, at Pat McAfee Show, respect, don't think for a second I can't do this, plus bowl a 300 game. Thank you. I guess he made some sort of Mr. Perfect reference on TV or something with the pencil.
Mm-hmm.
So Pat McAfee Show's account retweets a reply gif of Curtis Axel doing his, you know, the pose and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this has confetti coming out. Joe Henning, if you can't celebrate without pouring out of your nipples, I feel bad for you. Or confetti. That should be confetti. He wrote graffiti. Should be without confetti pouring out of your nipples. I feel bad for you. Knew the word was wrong. I was like, wait, what? Anyway, so there was that. Let's see. So Johnny Gargano posts a picture of his newborn Quill and Google thing. When do babies hold their own bottle? Around 6 months. The baby's what, 3 months? I think 4 months.
I think so. Yeah.
Indy tweet replies, well, Quill is a genetic freak and he's not normal. Johnny Gargano, he's got 66 2/3 chance of taking. Of talking by the next time you see him. Steiner Math.
Mm.
We all love Steiner Math. Amethyst. So who do we think is going to be Dr. Lupo's 20th TK when he gets home? Dr. Lupo. We should do 5 soon. Pool Shark. You. Amy. No, you. Clintus. You. Definitely you. F's in chat. She also replied to Dr. Lupo, I'm terrified. That is Tweet of the Week.
And with that, we are going to take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we will be talking all about the Naomi-Sasha Banks situation. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
There is no one better at covering AIDS. Than CB Radio Not So Live. Join Sir Rockin, the intern and lone jobber as they go all elite. With their breakdowns of every AEW pay-per-view event. CB Radio Not So Live available after every AEW pay-per-view. At wildtalkradio.com and cbradiolive.com.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Yeah.
6, 23, 22.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Crack Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. And with that, we are going to jump into the other major news story that gets its own segment, y'all. And that is the Sasha Banks-Naomi situation that occurred...
10 days ago.
Ten days ago.
Where the day everything, well, you know. So the day everything happened, this happened. So it was 10 days ago on Monday Night Raw. It was a promoted six-woman match featuring Sasha Banks, Naomi, Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H., and Becky and Asuka. It was going to be the number one contenders match. Winner was going to go to Money in the Bank, or Hell in a Cell to fight Bianca Belair for the championship. That was the plan. Throughout the day, the talents involved, Sasha Banks and Naomi, had issues with the direction of not the match itself, but the long-term future of what their team was, and raised concerns with their bosses. Producers, I would assume Vince McMahon, etc., etc., and they made it known what their feelings were, and whatever the story may be, comments were exchanged. Some said they were agreed upon and they would make some changes, but at the end of the day, plans never changed. The end result of what was going to happen in that match stayed the course, which was going to be Naomi beating Sasha Banks, her partner, and going on to face Bianca Belair for the Women's Raw Championship at Hell in a Cell. And Sasha Banks would then, I guess, assume later on in upcoming weeks on television on SmackDown, earn a shot at Ronda Rousey and go on to fight her as well at Hell in a Cell. And that there were no plans in place for the duo to be working together for the next few weeks. We all know, and it was gonna all the way through Money in the Bank, I assume that there was no plans for them. Who knows? They were upset about it. They, again, vocalized all their frustration. They decided that day that, well, we are going to stand up for ourselves creatively, and they went into John Laurinaitis' office, put the belts on the table, and walked out. WWE would go on to make some public statements via the television show, which Corey Graves took the heat for because he was the one relaying the messages. And they also sent out a public statement about the release of Sasha Banks and Naomi. Many people thought that WWE has gone a little too far on it, but we'll get to that point here in a moment. But they talked about it, how they left, and how it was all an unprofessional act. That was the story, and that's where the situation is. So both women have now are indefinitely suspended. They broke that story on Friday night on SmackDown, which there's video, if you watch it, of Pat McAfee going, wait, what's going on? You can just see it, and he made comments on his radio show on Monday going he had no idea what Cole was going to say, because I don't think Pat wants to be told anything. He just wants to react to things that are happening.
Which is smart, but it's also can kind of bite you because, you know, in this situation like this where there's very clearly something going on, you kind of want to be in the know, and, well, he wasn't in the know here, so.
Yeah. WWE took down their Facebook pages, which, that's no crime to anybody. Let's be real. It's just, they post videos. It's not really them. Sorry to break it to you, that's not them on Facebook. Sorry. And they took all the merchandise down from WWE Shop because they're inactive superstars. They're suspended from the company, so to stop them from receiving royalties for a while, they took down the merch. There has been no real communication, I don't think, from both sides, unless, or at least not publicly, that anything is being talked about. Sasha Banks and Naomi have not made any statements whatsoever other than removing the phrase WWE superstar from their social media platforms. That's as far as it's gotten. It will be interesting to see at some point if they make some sort of statement. Sasha's been at the Snoop Dogg, a concert with Snoop Dogg, and Naomi's probably been at home with kids and everything like that. So that's the whole situation. There's a lot of he said, she said, without actually hearing from the she saids. You're only hearing from the he saids. So that's where we stand.
I do want to say it's a little... Like, I understand WWE's need to get out in front of the story because, obviously, something has gone down. We don't know what. They wanted to make it very clear their position on it. They have done some things that I don't necessarily agree with, and one of those is really just addressing it on the show and basically doing a little bit of name-calling that feels a little pettish. Little unnecessary. Like, they walked out, they did it privately, they didn't do it publicly. They've been very tight-lipped about it. They're, you know, so it's like, you could have just said, hey, you know, Sasha Banks and Naomi, they're taking time away, and that's all you needed to really say. You didn't need to call them unprofessional. You didn't need to, like, put it all out there in terms of just everything that they've done, right? Like, I understand it. They're trying to get in front of the story. But it's more, you could have just addressed it and say, you know, that Sasha Banks and Naomi needed to take time away, needed to step away. And that's all you needed to do. And everybody would have been fine with it while they try to resolve the situation. I don't think it helps things that they're calling them unprofessional and that they're basically like, well, they're indefinitely suspended and they've lost the tag team titles because they gave them up. They left them on John Laurinaitis' desk and this and that. Like, I don't think any of that necessarily helps the situation, especially with Naomi, who was in contract negotiations, I think, at the point that this happened, because her contract is getting ready to run out. And we know that Sasha signed an extension either last year or year before last to continue on with WWE, because she had walked away before due to mental health issues. And she needed to kind of do a reset and sort of, you know, find herself and figure out what she wanted to do. And she did that, and she came back, and she's had a very successful run since returning. And part of that could be that maybe Sasha and Naomi just needed to step away to take a minute. We don't know. But the way that WWE is handling the story, and I know that they have addressed other people in the past who have done things, and they have addressed it publicly, I don't feel like they've ever gone on the air. At least I don't remember them going on the air and saying, oh, well, this person walked out, and they were unprofessional, unless it was a work. Right? Like,
no, that's inaccurate. I'm going to give you
I don't
the,
remember that, though.
I'm going to give you the name.
Okay.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, shit, dude. That was like 20 years ago.
But it's still, you wanted the case. That did, but that's the biggest one of them all, where he legitimately refused to come to work.
Yeah, I remember that.
Vince McMahon came on television, publicly roasted him. Like, he called him unprofessional. He took his ball and went home. They had The Rock come back early and verbalize the frustrations of him walking out, telling him if he doesn't like it, he can get the F out or anyone back there. They did a whole Bike This series special on him where they spent an hour talking about the situation, I believe, with Vince McMahon. There was a confidential episode based around that entire thing. They have gone harder on others than they did with Naomi and Sasha. Should WWE have called them unprofessional? No. But at the same point, it kind of was.
It was and it wasn't. Like, I can understand being creatively frustrated and it's like, look, this is not what we want. We addressed this properly. We took this through the proper channels. We were told something was going to change. And the change did not occur. And there's a lot of, you know, rumors and speculations about what has actually happened. But the core that seems to continue to stick is that they asked for change. They were told there was going to be a change. And then the change did not occur. And that's what led to what is believed to be them walking out, where they're like, you don't care about what we want. You don't care about us as champions. So F this, we're out, bye. And you can do what you want with the titles. That seems to be the general theory behind what happened.
The reason why, great, Ash, you can count. We can roll more if you want. Or use Prime. Thank you. Should they have stayed longer? Should they have tried to work it out? That right there could have been the more professional way to handle it.
They could have stayed longer. They could have tried to work it out. But I also can't speak to how frustrated they were. Obviously, to walk out on your job, right? Like, we've all been there. We've all been really super frustrated, and we all just at some point need to walk away from our jobs, right? Because it's just too much. It's just like, I can't do this today, right? We all had that moment, and it could be that that's where they were. It was, I just can't do this shit today. I don't want to deal with this. I'm leaving. And they could have been extremely frustrated. Like, you would have to be to just walk out. Like, I don't feel like they just flippantly said, you know what, fuck this, we're out.
No,
like, I don't feel like that's what happened.
No, there's probably more to the story. Again, there's more to the story. There's probably been things. There's the one story that's out there, you know, Sasha's upset about Ronda taking her spot at WrestleMania. Well, guess what? Ronda's the bigger star. Let's all be real. Like, that's 100% of Ronda's bigger star than Sasha Banks.
I think, at least for Sasha, I think Sasha's gaze is shifting, and it's been shifting for quite a while. She has a semi-regular gig with Disney with The Mandalorian. Season 3 is coming out. She's probably going to be in it because she's with one of the main characters. She's been trying to get her own spinoff series based off The Mandalorian. And she's looking at Hollywood. She's looking at moving on. Let's all be completely honest. She's done pretty much everything there is to do in WWE. She's had a Hall of Fame run in WWE. She has been one of their top women stars for quite a while now. There's really nothing left for her to prove. There's really nothing left for her to do. She's really just there. And she's kind of been drifting for quite a while now because you have her kind of getting lost in the shuffle because she's been in and out doing things and they don't really have much for her. So I'm sure Sasha's kind of looking at it as like, okay, well, I'm going to do the tag team run with Naomi and we're going to have fun, except we're not because they're changing directions or they're not respecting us as champions. And, you know, she's kind of looking at it from the standpoint of, well, I have a good gig with Disney that can get me in with other companies, that can get me in with other shows. I can start to build a Hollywood career based off of what I've already done. And I think that's where Sasha's kind of looking, is she's now looking at that post-wrestling career going, all right, what are my options? Which we all knew was going to happen at some point. Roman's kind of doing the same thing. I think Roman will be around for quite some time, but also Roman's looking at his options and going, you know what? I don't want to wrestle as much. I've done everything there is to do. I've proven myself. Roman has had a Hall of Fame run. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he retires. And now he's looking at Hollywood going, you know what? I kind of want to do that. You have people doing that because it's like they can. Sasha's one of them. Naomi, unfortunately, I don't think is in that same position. Naomi has not had the same level of run as Sasha. I think she's incredibly talented. I think in a lot of ways, Naomi has been cheated because Naomi kind of came in at the right time, but she came in at the wrong time.
Early start, wrong time, but she's won some stuff. She's done some big things.
She's done some big things, but she has not had the career that Sasha has had.
No, she's not had the main event level career, but she's had a very successful WWE career and probably a Hall of Fame career when you put together all the pieces.
She kind of broke out and broke through on Total Divas, and that's where we all really fell in love with her, was we got to see who she is on Total Divas, and it's like, yeah, Naomi's cool. Naomi's awesome. We all love Naomi. And, you know, she's had her trials and tribulations in her personal life with, you know, everything that's gone on with her husband and with her family. And she's been dealing with stuff and she had to step away for a while to deal with that. And then she came back and she's never really been factored into, I feel like, the main event picture since then. They've kind of had her drifting in and out of tag teams. And they put it because they had her, I think, with Natty for a while. I think she was with Asuka for a while. And now she's with Sasha. and they've just sort of had her drifting. So I can see Naomi kind of looking at it as she's been in the company for
a decade.
Yeah, 10 years.
If not longer.
And I feel like for a lot of people, there's a realism factor of, okay, this is what I want to do. Am I going to get there? And the answer is maybe, maybe not. And I don't know what Naomi's goals are. I can't speak to her goals. But, you know, as a human being, you sit there and you go, well, I want to climb Mount Everest. Am I ever going to get there? Probably not. But it's something I want to do. But you have to be realistic and let go of some things. And it could be time that Naomi's looking at it going, I've done this for 10 years. This is probably as far as I'm going to go. Unless they put her in the bloodline and they have her do things with the bloodline. But the bloodline is probably in the process of breaking up soon.
She knows.
You keep saying that.
She knows. You've been saying that for a year. But she knows this is probably her last big, like, whatever the, since she's in the middle of contract negotiations, she knows, okay, this is the final contract. She knows it's coming to an end.
Because they're skewing younger. They're starting to look at their talent overall and assessing their talent overall. And they are beginning to skew their talent younger because they want younger people that they can have for 10, 15, 20 years in some cases if they want to stay that long. But they want to have the longevity factor. And people who are in their early to mid-30s, they are still perfectly viable as human beings. But as professional wrestlers, especially if they have 10 years of wear and tear on them, they may not be as viable as somebody who's, you know, in their early 20s and doesn't have 10 years worth of wrestling experience on them. Wrestling does a lot to your body.
She signed with them in 2009.
So she's been with them for
12 years.
13. 12 years. 13?
12, 13, something like that. She's been there a while. And she's been on FCW TV like a few weeks into her run. So she's been there for a minute. She debuted January 9th, 2012 on the main roster.
I mean, it could be that like they worked this out, right? Like, I don't want to discount them and say that they're done and they're gone.
No.
They could be trying to work it out right now. Nobody knows. Like, Sasha and Naomi are playing this smart. They aren't going out on Twitter. They aren't talking shit. They aren't doing anything. They have just very quietly removed WWE from their Twitter bios, and that's all they've done. And they could be talking.
And no one would know unless you stalk their Twitter.
And no one would know unless you stalk their Twitter. Like, WWE has been very public about it. They have not.
Like, that's the thing. Why are people stalking Twitter bios? Who does this? Like, why is this a thing? It always drives me crazy. Oh, they've removed such and such. How often are you refreshing their bio to know what it says there? Are you stalking them or something? That's weird. It's weird.
It could be. I mean, I don't disagree. It is definitely weird. But, like, you have people that do that. Like, the Young Bucks announce every time they update their Twitter bio. So,
oh, God. There's a Twitter called Young Bucks Bio that retweets their bio change.
Anyway.
It's so weird. It's weird. Stop. Stop stalking bios.
Y'all being weird. Quit.
Quit it.
Anyway. It could work out. It could not work out. Nobody knows the status right now. I think WWE is giving them a chance to cool off. I think they're probably attempting to make contact and see what they can do. Because as we saw with Mustafa Ali asked to get his release. It wasn't granted. And he's now getting a little bit of a push out of it as a result. They were able to kind of sort of say, all right, what do you want?
Take a breather, figure it out. So all the reports, oh, Sasha and Banks and Naomi are no longer factored into their, you know, WWE storyline plans. No shit, Sherlock. An 80s slang phrase that went on the great debate. No shit, Sherlock. They're not there in factors and plans because they're suspended. It's like, that's common sense. Oh, they don't have any plans for them. Well, no shit. They don't.
Yeah.
Because they're not there. They're focusing on the people who are there. Guess what? When Sasha and Naomi agree to come back, if they do, guess what? There'll be plans for them. Shockingly. I know. It's so crazy.
I will say this. They will probably not get granted a release. At least Sasha won't. Naomi, I would suspect she probably just lets her contract run out. And she's good to go. Nobody knows how much time is left on Sasha's contract, but I would bet dollars to donuts that they are probably not going to let her out of it. They will either let it expire and keep her off TV until it expires, or they work it out with her, or
they can freeze it.
They can freeze it. until she comes back, and they can add the time that she's been out back on her contract. They can do the same thing to Naomi, where they can be like, okay, all right, well, you know, yeah, you sat at home for 3 months, but, you know, here's the thing. You signed a deal with us. You agreed to appear at shows, and you agreed to be paid to do this, so we paid you, but you didn't do your end of the deal, so we're going to make sure that you do your end of the deal. That's happened before to people. Like, I think that happened to Batista. No, that happened to Rey Mysterio. Where he was out for like a year and his contract was going to expire, and WWE was like, no, we want our year back. And they made him honor the year. So they can do that. Like, when you agree to a contract, it's you agree to the specific terms. And if you don't honor your end of the deal, they can make you. Like, that's the thing. That's the whole point of it. Now, I still argue that there should be an out clause for people who are not happy. And whatever that out clause is, whatever that stipulation is, you know, you do incur a penalty if you decide to leave, whether it's financial, whether it's a no-compete, where you basically can't do TV wrestling for the remaining length of your contract, however long it is.
Which they did, which they tried to do with Brock, too. Like, when he quit and went to the NFL and then went to Japan, they held him where he couldn't do work in the States because of the contract, yeah. Because they had the rights.
Yeah, for like 10 years. They tried to make it like 10 years, and I think they took that to court.
I think Brock won, but...
Yeah, Brock won.
Or they settled or whatever. But yeah, they try. And because they legally can.
So that's the thing. Like, I feel like there should be a level of penalty if you decide you want out of your contract. And I think it should be a longer, either a financial one or a longer no compete, where it's, okay, well, you want out of your contract. Standard is 90 days. Minimum is 90 days. So in the case of Naomi, if they say she has a month left on her contract and she decides, okay, I want to be released today, they're like, all right, so you ought to get 90 days, whether you want to or not, or you can let it run out. It's your choice. And then you don't have a no compete. For someone like Sasha, say she has a year. They could go, all right, you want out. Let's talk about it. That year that you owe us, that's your no-compete. You cannot work for any wrestling promotion in the U.S. for a year. And she could be fine with that. I don't know how that would impact Hollywood, because I don't know how the no-competes impact Hollywood.
It wouldn't affect Hollywood, but for a branding perspective, she would want the name. And
yeah, that's the other side, is she would want the name.
Mercedes, whatever, is not Sasha Banks, WWE superstar.
And... Well, I mean, even if she were to let her contract out, she wouldn't be able to kick the name with her.
But I'm saying it would be beneficial to have a working agreement with the company that sort of puts you on the map to, like,
oh yeah,
help you out.
Like, this is where I'm kind of curious about the copyrights. Like, can you buy basically your WWE name?
They would never let you buy the WWE name, because they wouldn't then be able to use any footage you're involved in.
Or license it, yeah, or something from them.
You could probably, like, license the name. You can probably get a license of the name. But you can, WWE, this is why we have the 17,000 name changes. Butch and Alba Fire and whatever.
All the
Max Dupree and all the things. Is because they want to own the names. They don't want, you can have your name. You can have your given name, or the name you built on the indies. It's why it's Gunther, not Walter. It's so
yeah.
They have the rights to it. So they don't, like, they can license it and market it and sell NFTs and all these different things. It's because they want to own that. They want to make it a brand. Yeah. That's where they're at with that.
Because they can't do that if... Because basically copyright law is, if you used it, because they did this several years ago where they went on this kick where they changed everybody's names to generic names, where you weren't able to use your real name, or you weren't able to use the name that you had used on the indies, because essentially you have a level of creative license over a name that you've used on the indies. So Kevin Steen, for example, he has a level of creative license over that name because he owned it prior to signing with WWE, so they cannot copyright that. He owns that technically. So they have to come up with a different name, which is why he goes by Kevin Owens in WWE, because they can own that. And then when he goes back to the indies, if he decides to go back to the indies, then he can go back to being Kevin Steen.
Well, that's here's the thing, LeMans. We're going through that stage. They're making everything change in NXT. Is Raquel Rodriguez used to be Gonzalez? Yeah. But they changed it because you're now having a new era of what the people are in NXT compared to where they were. It's like we had the Hunter era where he was bringing people in and using their indie name to market and grow and everything like that. For the most part, like Fergal Devitt is now Finn Balor. I don't think anyone has a problem saying Finn Balor 1,000 times.
There were people that came in that I think they looked at them and they had such a recognizable name, like Adam Cole, you know, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly.
They weren't changing that because they hired that brand. They hired that name.
And it's like, you know, War Machine. Basically, Hunter looked at it and is like, you built this name. This is because he disagreed with exactly what they were doing, which was they would hire indie talent and they would change their name when they got to developmental, and they would build them under that new name. And then they would send them up to the main roster under that new name. And the whole argument against that was, well, again, going to use him, Kevin Steen. He's built that entire reputation under that name. Everybody knows him under that name. Why can't he use that name? Other than, you know, taking copyright out of it, he should be allowed to use that name. And that's kind of what Hunter was doing, was he was allowing people to use their indie names. And they were working it out on the back end in terms of the copyright issues. Well, Hunter's now not in power anymore, and it's, we don't necessarily want to take the time to work out the copyright issues with everybody. It's just easier to change the damn names. And that's what they're doing, is they're going through an NXT, and as people come up in NXT, you're going to see them working under the new names. So we're not going to have this awkward, like we did with Walter, where all of a sudden he's Gunther. And Alba Fire, and some of these other people that we know them under different names, but they can't use them, so now they're going to have to change their names.
Right, and everyone was upset at Pete Dunne being Butch. I get it, but at the same time, he's not Pete Dunne on the main roster. He's Butch. It's a different character. It's a different person. We've seen it, you've seen it over years where people change their gimmick. Does he look like Pete Dunne? Kind of, but he's not the guy he was. He's doing a different gimmick, so like, stuff like that works. We all just forget about what they used to do and how they changed names when you got a different gimmick. I mean, Kama Mustafa became the Godfather. So here we are.
I will say this to kind of bring it all back full circle. I do hope that they are able to work it out with Sasha and Naomi. They're like, there's no bad feelings if they can't, because if they're done, they're done, and they should absolutely have the right to walk away. Like, they should be able, like any of the rest of us, to say, you know what, I just don't have it in me anymore to do this. It's just too much. And there should be really no harm, no foul if it's like, it's just, I can't do this anymore, and I don't want to do this anymore. It's like Toni Storm is like, this is too much, I don't want to do this, I'm not happy, I want to leave, and they let her out of her contract, and she did her no-compete, and then she went to AEW, and she's happy in AEW. And the same thing could happen to Sasha and Naomi, is it's just the WWE machine, after a while, it wears you down. It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with the travel and the press and all the things, and the higher you go in the company, the more is expected of you. The more you're scrutinized, the more you're looked at. The more you're put under a microscope. And it can be challenging. It can wear you down. So I can absolutely appreciate both of these women being like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the bullshit. I want to walk away. I need a break. Or I need to recalibrate. Or I need to do something. I respect that. I respect that reason. Wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, at least from the information that we have, that they weren't unprofessional. Because it seems like they did try to address it. And it was addressed, and their concerns were not properly handled on WWE's end, and they were like, all right, you know what? If you're not going to listen, we're out. Bye. And they stood up for each other, and they left. And I respect that. They supported each other. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. I don't have anything else more to add to that.
So with that, I think we're done.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that would put a wrap and a bow on all this. We'll do it for another edition of the Rock Riot Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night, we're doing something different, chat. We're doing CB Radio, but it's probably going to be me and Brent talking a lot about AEW and the other guys chiming in. So, no debate. We're talking AEW and the Interns Corner Saturday night, midnight-ish for CB Radio. Before that, will be Fortnite with Friends. Sunday night, there is no WTR because of the pay-per-view. CBRO not so live. Monday after the Raw post show. Monday night Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. I think that's the plan. Don't hold me to that plan. It could be a Tuesday. I don't know. We're still working it. We're working it through things. Figuring out. What I do know, Monday night is the Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the Rack. Coming up soon, we'll have a Fortnite event coming up, which is on the following Saturday, which means there won't be any Fortnite with friends that night. We'll figure out something to do. We'll do something with videos and stuff. So all of that. If you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite I Am Sharp or Epic Games Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can
hold on. One other thing. 6/23/22/10.
10. 10 years, guys.
We'll have an announcement we're doing on that next week. Also, the Rack Extra Reviews is coming back, too.
Ding!
All the things. There's a lot of stuff.
So much content. And you can follow me on Twitter, where I play Genshin Impact. You know what I did? I reset my Genshin Impact account, and I am starting from scratch. Yes, I still have my original one. No, I did not blow it away. There's too much money invested in that. But if you want me to watch me re-explore the world of Teyvat and pick up on all the things that I missed because I was playing the game the first time and not paying attention, you can tune in twitch.tv/LinzWard right here on Twitch. I stream Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. and on the weekends when I have time. So follow me on Twitter @LinzWard to get notified of when I'm going live. And use my creator code LinzWard in the Genshin Impact store because I am a hashtag Epic Partner. You can also follow me on YouTube, LinzWard.RackRadioShow.com, or just look for Linz Ward on YouTube, where all my past parts are. I would greatly appreciate it. You can also follow our partner MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211, for all his amazing content, because Matt is awesome and we love him. And yes, go buy your OG space slut Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Fortnite item shop. Use the creator codes because he's there and debate who was the bigger man whore, Anakin Skywalker or Obi-Wan. Take your pick. Tweet us if you have opinions. But with that, Rock and I are going to go. So, we will see you next week. If you listen to the Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we're out. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.